This is Meet the People. I'm Kels Hetherington. My guest this morning on the phone from Anchorage is Laura Goss. She is the Alaska Branch Manager for the Arthritis Foundation. Also with us on the phone from Bellingham, Washington is Barbara Olson. Barbara is the Puget Sound Arthritis Foundation Branch Manager and runs the Arthritis Answers Helpline for the Washington, Alaska, and Oregon chapter. I asked them to be with us on the radio this morning to talk about the Arthritis Foundation and what it is doing specifically in Alaska, and to discuss arthritis in general and how arthritis is factoring into healthcare reform. With more than one in five Americans having been diagnosed with arthritis and the condition being the number one reason people are unable to work, this is an all-important topic. Well, with that introduction, Laura and Barbara, a very good morning to you both, and welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The Arthritis Foundation has an outstanding website, and I've looked around it pretty thoroughly. What is the purpose and the reason for the Arthritis Foundation's existing?
The mission of the Arthritis Foundation is to improve lives through leadership in the prevention, control, and cure of arthritis and related diseases. Arthritis includes more than 100 diseases and conditions that affect the joints and surrounding tissues, and we work to educate the public, assist people who have arthritis, and also educate medical professionals about treatments and conditions.
Wow, very succinct statement. It's probably on your website somewhere. I looked for it, couldn't find it, just my quick glance there. Looking at the information on the Foundation's website, I was surprised, Laura, by the number of people suffering from arthritis and at just how crippling the condition can be. This leads me to ask the question, is there anything that can be done to prevent this condition?
Unfortunately, no. Osteoarthritis often can be a result of an injury or overuse of a joint, but it doesn't always have to be that way. Genetics plays a part of it. Rheumatoid arthritis, which is another, it's a common cause of arthritis, is actually an autoimmune disease. So there's really not a lot we can do right now with the prevention, which is where a lot of our research is. And so right now, the new medications that have just come out are really working on how to put the disease into remission so that people can live a more quality life.
Barbara, I understand that you, in fact, suffer from arthritis. Has the condition worsened since it was diagnosed?
Yes, it definitely has. Arthritis progresses regardless of treatment. For some of us who are less lucky than others, it continues to progress and erodes the joints. What I've been diagnosed with is rheumatoid arthritis, and I was just 17 years old and now in my early 60s, and so I can tell how much difference my physical activities and abilities are different than they were over time. I am less and less able to do certain things with my arms, with my knees, and with my feet. But certainly it did not impair my brain, so I can compensate and be very active in other ways. So people with rheumatoid arthritis have a tendency to actually do things and more sometimes that they should be, but just to compensate what the body doesn't want to do, you compensate by activities in other ways.
Now, does arthritis in most cases, is this a condition that people get when they're older? I know you said you got it when you were 18 years old. It was diagnosed back then. Is that a rare thing? Because it's typically thought of as being an old person's condition.
No. When you look at arthritis as not just one disease, but close to 100 different conditions, they kind of split into two very distinctive groups. Wear and tear arthritis, which is the degenerative arthritis, or correctly called osteoarthritis. That's the group which Laura mentioned that is associated with, could be with aging or with injuries, with all these things that come by using our joints all the time. Inflammatory type of arthritis, rheumatoid arthritis, juvenile rheumatoid arthritis, psoriatic arthritis, scleroderma, lupus, all these types of arthritis are actually inflammatory, and they are autoimmune types of arthritis. Something happens to the body, immune system, and it triggers this white cells response. And at a certain time, normally when you have infection, the immune system should fight the infection. Infection is gone. Cells should start working. but in those inflammatory types of arthritis, they don't. They don't get the signal to stop attacking, and they actually start attacking your own body. And that's why I call autoimmune your own body's cells being attacked by your white cells. And that's where disease progresses. And mostly there's a lining in the joints called synovial lining tissue, and those synovial tissue is very much attacked by white cells in case of rheumatoid arthritis. In case of lupus and other diseases, other internal organs are affected, and rheumatoid arthritis also can affect brain tissue, can affect lungs, can affect kidneys. There's all kinds of things that can go wrong with rheumatoid arthritis. I just recently attended a lecture, and a doctor explained and showed us pictures of big changes of different internal organs of people with rheumatoid arthritis who were not diagnosed on time and they were not treated in time.
And that's a good point. Early diagnosis is pretty important to treating the disease or keeping it under control. In Alaska and maybe some other Western states, it's hard to get treatment or to find someone who's an expert in arthritis. Laura, you were telling me a bit about this. How many doctors, Laura, in Alaska are able to treat and diagnose arthritis?
Well, there are five practicing rheumatologists in the state of Alaska. There are over 119,000 Alaskans with doctor-diagnosed arthritis and many others who aren't doctor-diagnosed. So the majority of Alaskans aren't seeing a specialist in arthritis, which is a rheumatologist. They're seeing their regular, you know, primary care provider, a nurse practitioner out in the bush, maybe a health clinic worker. And so the Arthritis Foundation has really taken an active role in educating these medical practitioners in Alaska, because they're actually the ones who are treating these people with arthritis for the most part. The majority of Alaskans either can't get to Anchorage, or even if they are in Anchorage, there's a long wait list to get in to see a rheumatologist. Many have to go out of state to see a rheumatologist, and we refer people out of state as well.
Well, what are things, Laura, that a rheumatologist may be able to do for a patient that a generalist would not be able to do?
Well, as Barbara mentioned, I mean, they do have much more training, you know, specialized in this field. And because there are so many types of arthritis, and even the different types of arthritis present differently in different people, you can have identical twins who both have the same form of arthritis, yet it presents differently on their bodies and the way that their motion is, the way that their joint mobility is, also in the way that different medications treat it. They could be on two different medications. They could have the exact same biology and genetic makeup and still have it, you know, be different in their own body. And so it's really a science of getting to know your patient, getting to know their symptoms, getting to know which drugs work with which, you know, combinations on people. It's not, you know, just like, okay, here you have diabetes and we're going to put you on insulin. It's much more of an exact science, unfortunately. And that's the drawback of having arthritis in Alaska. And because we have cold weather here, we have even more prevalence because a lot of arthritis is triggered by cold weather.
That's interesting. I was looking at the report that you referenced. You say 119,000 Alaskans suffer from arthritis, and that's included in the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention report, a link to which is on your website. Is that number consistent with the findings in other states?
Yeah, on the average in America, it is approximately one in five people, which 119,000 is really close to that for us as well in Alaska.
Yeah, I see Hawaii has a remarkably high number of people who reportedly have arthritis. Any explanation for that?
Go ahead, Barbara.
Oh, I just wanted to say that certain types of arthritis, like all those inflammatory types, they don't really relate to the weather. People with osteoarthritis, do feel the weather in their bones, so to speak. It makes cold makes people stiffer. But so far, the science does not have very definite a connection between starting arthritis and the climate. And that's why you will find that lots of people can have, anywhere they live, some concentration of folks with osteoarthritis, and like in Arizona, Florida, or perhaps Hawaii, could be explained that people with osteoarthritis do feel better when they can move, and moving is easier in warmer climates. So people to move to those climates because it just makes them feel better. But just to trigger autoimmune response of arthritis, climate has not been, research has not found the connection between that. But definitely it's true for people with osteoarthritis who get achier and stiffer when the weather is damp and cold. They just need activities outside and some sunshine to feel, to move and feel better.
You mentioned that there are a lot of different kinds of arthritis. You included in your response to one of my questions, lupus is one of those. What are the symptoms in general of someone who has arthritis? Maybe Barbara, you could answer that.
Yeah, for lupus, the symptoms, it's what is kind of interesting about arthritis, that symptoms, achy joints, swollen joints, sometimes fever, fatigue, can be almost for every autoimmune types of arthritis. Symptoms overlap, and that's why it trains a very takes trained practitioner to distinguish what those symptoms mean in addition to your blood test, blood works, and everything else. And that's why lupus, a person can be waking up very tired, can have swollen joints, but may not have swollen joints. A person with lupus may have a specific rash, a butterfly rash on a face, but not everybody has it. So it takes quite a time and skill to really distinguish all these rheumatic diseases and put a label on them. And as Laura mentioned, not all those diseases are by the book. So if you look at the textbook, what the symptoms generally are, lots of people are not exactly diagnosed. They don't show exact symptoms which the textbook indicates. There's just so many variations to arthritis that's why I have such a great respect for rheumatologists, because their knowledge and experience has to be really great to know what to do with us and how to treat us.
Mm. Oh, I'm curious, I've been referring to arthritis as a condition, but is it actually a disease?
There are many
different
diseases. Yes, it is a disease.
So, Laura, is it possible that we may at some point find a cure for the disease if they could isolate, you know, what it exactly is?
It is possible, and we spend, you know, hundreds and thousands, in fact, probably millions of dollars annually in research working on finding a cure for arthritis.
Currently, what can be done, Laura, to treat arthritis?
Well, there are different medications that people can go on. There are like hot and cold therapies. There's exercise therapy. The Arthritis Foundation, in fact, has a life improvement series, which we hold for people with arthritis in many communities in Alaska, and that includes an exercise program, an aquatics exercise program, and a Tai Chi program. And they are all specifically designed for people with arthritis, and we certify and train the people to teach those classes in a lot of Alaskan communities.
Hmm.
And that's one thing that can really help people manage their disease and increase their mobility and lessen their swelling and pain and discomfort.
Now, treating arthritis can be very expensive. If you're lucky enough to have health insurance benefits through your employer or you buy them outside of your employment, your arthritis care may be covered. No matter what your insurance policy covers, there will likely be many treatments that are only partially covered or not covered at all. For example, your insurance policy may pay 70% of the cost for a brand name drug, leaving you to pay the remaining 30%. If you were on a popular rheumatoid arthritis drug, it could cost you as much as $15,000 to $20,000 per year. That means you would owe $4,500 out of pocket per year. Is there anything that people can do to help bring down these costs? Maybe more?
We are working with trained advocates on programs right now with a bill with the U.S. Senate trying to do the Prevention, Control, and Cure Act, and also the efforts with the health care reform. That's one of our main issues, is the cost is so debilitating for people with arthritis, especially those who don't have insurance. There are several programs through some of the pharmaceutical companies that do offer prescription assistance, and we can help people find that information. There's also a different program that I know of that does also offer, it's a private nonprofit, that offers people assistance if they can't afford their arthritis medication.
What about this RX Access LLC program? I guess it helps uninsured Americans gain access to prescription products at significant savings. Is that an avenue that might be useful to someone who is on a very expensive rheumatoid arthritis prescription drug?
It might be. Those types of programs, from what I've been told by their representatives who come and see me in my office, that about 75 to 80% of the people who contact them can get at least some kind of assistance. You know, some will get 100%, some may only get 20%, but they estimate about 75, 80% do get some kind of assistance.
If you're just joining us here on 8:30 a.m., it's Meet the People. I'm Cal Southerington. I'm talking with two people from the Arthritis Foundation. One is in Anchorage. She is Laura Goss. And the other one is Barbara Olson. She is in Bellingham, Washington. And again, both are with the Arthritis Foundation. Now, under HIPAA, state laws on healthcare coverage and access take precedence over national policies, so you may benefit depending upon which state you're in. In some states, this may mean that you may make appointments with certain specialists without a referral, even if you are insured by an HMO. What is the law like in Alaska?
You know, honestly, Kels, I have no information on that.
Okay, that is a very specific question. I didn't mean to catch you off guard, but I thought that was interesting that some states had laws. I had never seen anything like that. I thought that HIPAA was kind of universal and the federal policy went over the state laws. That was of interest to me, so I thought I would just hit you over the head and ask you that.
Yep, no, you got me on that one.
And I know you've only been with the Arthritis Foundation, Laura, for a few months. What's happening in Anchorage right now with the Arthritis Foundation?
Well, the Pacific Northwest chapter of the Arthritis Foundation opened the Alaska branch office April 1st of 2009, and I am the first and only Alaskan employee of the Arthritis Foundation, and I serve the whole state from my office in Alaska, here in Anchorage. And I travel extensively to different communities, putting on different educational programs or doctor education programs, doing the trainings for the Life Improvement Series, and also holding special events to raise funds and community awareness.
And how is it going so far?
It's been a very busy 7 months, to say the least. And I've been well received. The people in Alaska with arthritis are very grateful that the foundation has opened up an office and is doing more efforts to outreach to them here, because they are so isolated and without, you know, rheumatologist care for the most part.
Now, if some version of health care reform does pass the House and the Senate, is this something that would help people who suffer from arthritis?
Definitely. And the main thing would be in getting their prescription medications covered.
Barbara, do you feel the same way?
Yes. The Arthritis Foundation really is addressing universal access to efficient health care for people with arthritis. It's also asking for affordable, sustainable, and comprehensive care. We also try to have some preventive quality care included, and I think some of those points are being addressed. I try to follow the healthcare health reform as much as I can, and I know it can't be everything perfect from the beginning, but my personal wish, we just pass something and have it something in place and then start working towards making details better. So I'm kind of keeping my fingers crossed that some form will pass and we can start looking for compromises and everybody's interests, but mainly for people who need that health care coverage.
Are you concerned at all, Barbara, that older people might be restricted when they try to access health care because of the end-of-life restrictions that we hear talked about?
I hear the talk, but I think it's a lot of misrepresentation. I am in Washington, and I looked into care, end-of-life care. I have a few friends who actually work for hospice. They are nurses. And that subject comes up among me, myself, and friends. And I think at the end-of-life care is the choice. Nobody forces anything on anybody, to my knowledge. You have options. So you can opt for various treatments. And depending what life, what disease you have with arthritis, I don't think... if arthritis is not a life-threatening condition, if you're not told then you only have a few months to live, you have options. And I don't think anybody would stop treatment for elderly person. People do have, even people in their 80s get new joints put in. So I don't really understand the worries and how that fits in the whole picture, because the end I understand and know, it doesn't threaten with the less care. But I may be wrong. I just may find somebody who's going to explain it to me what they know. So that's just, I think there's lots of debate, but maybe not all of what we're talking about are straight facts.
True. I don't think anyone knows the straight facts.
What's your knowledge of facts? And if you have something to add, please do.
Well, no, my understanding is that they want to reduce costs to save money on health care after reform is passed, and that may hit older Americans the hardest. Laura, have you heard any concern from your constituents in the Anchorage area?
Everybody is concerned, and especially with the access to rheumatologists being so stiff here and people having to oftentimes fly out of state, which even adds more cost to get care.
All right. Anything you would like to see specifically included in the Health Care Reform Act for arthritis patients?
For the main part, I think that just, you know, keep trying to get the price of medications lower and more accessible to people, so that they can go, they can get their disease into remission and live more productive lives.
How many companies really compete seriously for the prescriptions that are written by doctors for arthritis patients?
Barbara, do you have an exact answer on that?
Excuse me, could you repeat the question?
Well, is there
how many of the pharma companies deal with arthritis meds?
Oh, quite a few, but it's just this extensive research, and because types of rheumatoid arthritis people are not like cookie-cutters disease, they don't have a cookie-cutter disease, then the same medicine may not apply to one medicine doesn't apply to all, and that's why the newest medicine, the biologics, we call them biologics, they are modifying certain kind of protein in our body. Those medicines are very, very helpful, and has to be, there are several of them now, because I actually tried three to be until I found something that worked for me. So yes, they are expensive, but I understand the cost, because they are proteins, and growing those proteins, making them very pure, and so they can be used in injection form. That's a very costly process. So, yes, there are quite a few pharmaceutical companies which invested in that research, and each medication has a little tiny difference and that how it works on our bodies. And until they find a cheaper way of making it, the cost of production, I understand, is high. But I don't have an answer how to make it cheaper and when possibly it will be a generic form of that particular medicine. Patents are still new, and the medicines are about 10 years on the market.
So it doesn't sound like there's any blockbuster drug that has 60 or 70% of the market.
No, not. I don't know the exact numbers, who actually's market is larger, but because there are over million, close to 2 million people with rheumatoid arthritis, each person may respond differently to one particular medicine. That's why we have so many. And it will be even more in the future, because if we get to know our immune system, how it works, it should be more medicines, the biologics, which actually regulate that immune system, so it goes back to normal.
Hmm. Anything else you want to add, Laura, Barbara?
I just would actually like to talk about briefly about an event that we're holding next weekend called the Jingle Bell Run and Walk for Arthritis, and we're holding it here in Anchorage on Saturday, December 5th, and it's going to be in downtown Anchorage. It's a race, a run, a walk, and then we also feature a 1K children's run with the Elves, and this is all to raise money in support of arthritis programs and services to Alaskans.
Now, what happens with the money that's raised?
Money that's raised mainly goes toward research and program and services. 78% of the money we raise goes to fit those categories. Another 8% goes toward management, and 14% goes back into more fundraising.
Well, excellent. Sounds like you're off to a really strong start at the Anchorage branch office, and I appreciate your taking the time to talk with us on the radio this morning. Both
you're welcome.
You and
if I can also give my toll-free number for your folks if they are interested or want more information about the foundation. Mm-hmm. Our toll-free Alaskan number is 866-997-2000.
2784, or you can go to arthritis.org.
Yeah, and that's a fantastic website, I might add. I've been there and looked around a lot. You have lots of really fantastic links to all sorts of information and a lot of good information right there on the site itself. Again, that's www.arthritis.org. So thank you so much, and that's Meet the People for today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
8:30 a.m. KSDP Radio. I'm Kels Thurington. That was Meet the People. With me on the radio were Laura Goss. She is the Alaska Branch Manager for the Arthritis Foundation. And also there was Barbara Olson from Bellingham, Washington. She is also a branch manager for a program down there. We'll now go to NPR News from Washington, D.C., right after this quick message from the Shumigin Corporation.
Programming on KSDP is supported by the Shumigin Corporation, located in Sandpoint.